Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. We are broadcasting live from Champ Camp, the NovaCare Complex, driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World, RV sales, service parts, and accessories. And how about during the break here, Jordan Mailata fixes our RV.
Yeah, he does. He's getting a little steamy
in here.
He fixed the AC.
He's the only one who could reach the fan that we got at the top of the roof.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
We didn't know what was going on. Jordan Mailata, though, he's the only guy that could reach it anyway.
Yeah,
but doing us a favor in here. But he's an interesting guy to talk to, Hugh.
Oh, no,
he likes
listen,
busting
man.
Your chops a little bit.
He's one of my favorite mans, and that's what we do. We're on the show, and you know, he likes to be transparent, and he's just an overall good dude, man. He's just an overall good dude, and I enjoy talking to him every time that we get a chance to talk. I really do.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. And thank you to Jordan Mailata. Thank you to Jeremiah Trotter Jr. For joining us on the show today. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. You heard that music coming back from break. Rest in peace to Hulk Hogan, who passed away this morning, Hugh.
Yeah.
You a big Hulkster fan?
I was. You know what, TK? I hate that you asked me this. Now I got to answer
questions. Oh, boy. Oh, what did I just do?
I mean, I used to be a Hulk Hogan fan until I found out he didn't like black people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so yeah. He didn't seem to be a great guy.
It hurt my heart, but I was like, hey, yeah, oh, well. I mean, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Well, the kind words.
He ain't like black people.
Nice words, I mean, rest in peace.
No, I'm just saying. He ain't like black people.
I don't even know where to go with that.
I'm just saying, you shouldn't ask me.
Yeah.
Because I was going to answer.
You know, that is bad judgment. That was bad judgment on my part. I should have seen where that was going.
You asked me in the break, and I told you, but then you asked me on the air, and I had
to
tell you.
Well, he played the song. I mean, I had to say something.
Because Kyle knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Kyle knew what he was doing.
Kyle was provoking things. Kyle knew where things were going.
And then he acts like, oh, I can't believe you. You can believe it. You believe it. You believe it because you knew what I was going to say.
Kyle just loves pushing the buttons. He's like a little puppeteer back there.
That's his job.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, damn it, why Kyle play that music?
Yeah.
He did it.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But things we're talking about today, talking about the Eagles, obviously, and as we're down to training camp today, and whether you think they are going to need to throw the ball more next year. I do. I just think this is a part of the game in the NFL where you need to evolve year to year. And I think the best example is the Chiefs the last few years. As you look at the Chiefs and the different iterations of them going back to like 2018, 2019, it started off they had Tyreek Hill. They were like an explosive passing team.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, they move on from Tyreek Hill. They become more of a running team. This year they were more of a dink and dunk team. I think part of that, a big part of it, is because of the way defenses, you know, kind of adjust and defend them. And they started taking away those other things. It makes you adjust. And I'm not saying to come out and not use Saquon Barkley. That would be stupid. Like, that would be ridiculous. But I think as defenses have time to study, they have time to see what you did well, how you're going to attack them, they're going to attack you. And they're going to take things away. And I just think when you look at this team, they're going to need to be more of a passing team next year to have the same kind of offensive success as a whole.
I think it's going to be dictated on how you're attacked. Like, going into the games, I'm pretty sure that a lot of teams are going to look at the Eagles, and they're going to try to stop Saquon. Now, this is where I think you need to evolve and thrive, is how you get the ball to your playmakers. Because at the end of the day, TK, the bottom line is this. Get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. And how you do that is going to, you know, depend, like, that's going to give you your success. When I think about the Kansas City Chiefs, the first couple years they were winning Super Bowls, they did it with the air attack. And then one year, Pacheco was a big factor in that.
Yep.
It's all about how the league tries to stop you, right? And I feel like with the success that Saquon had, look at it like this, TK. And look at each individual team that you're going to play this year, right? And look at their personnel. I'm a little bit more familiar with the Rams personnel because that was the one that, you know, played them not too far long ago. And I know that the Rams have the Eagles circled because they want that get back, you know, in the way that they play them in the playoffs.
Yep.
They're a smaller defensive line up front They get after the quarterback, though. They're fast. They're quick. They get after the QB. And when you see in that first game, they got mauled. They got mauled. And I'll never forget that. And in the second game, they played a lot better, but they still weren't able to cap the run like they wanted to.
Right.
Now, it was a much better game because their offense played a lot better. But that's what you look at. Like, look at it individually from our offensive line standpoint and the teams that you're playing against. And I'm using that team because, like I said, I'm more familiar with it. Across the line, they probably average 280 pounds,
mm-hmm.
maybe. You know, when you talk about the edge rusher they have over there, the young tackle that they had that stepped in. I can't think of his name right now. But they had some young players that stepped in. They played well. They got after the quarterback well. But physically, when you line those 280-pound average guys against our 300-plus physically fit, like guys that can pull and run and things like that, that's a mismatch. And you should play to your strength in that situation.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? Because every team is not built. And that's just one example.
Right.
But and I would even say the Raiders, when you look at the way that they're built, just off the top of my head, they're not a bigger – one of the bigger defenses in the NFL. Like, so you maul those little guys.
Right.
You maul them.
I just think, you know, when you look at the schematic part of it, I think defenses are going to load the box a little more. I think they're going to try to take Saquon, or at least limit Saquon a little more. I certainly, from a physical perspective, and I'm not going to lie, seeing Jordan Mailata makes me think twice because, I mean, that dude's monstrous. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how anybody can get past him ever. But, yeah, I just think the way defenses are going to defend, it's going to be a little different this year. So if you want to get on that, 215-592-9494. Do you think the Eagles need to throw the ball more this year? And also, with the Phillies, talking about the Phillies and Jesus Luzardo last night, how concerned are you about him at this point? Last night's the first time with him where I've slammed the panic button down. You look at Luzardo, and, you know, he had a couple bad starts in early June, I guess, starting with that one at the very end of May against Milwaukee. Kind of got it together, had that really good start on Sunday night against the Mets, and you felt like, okay, maybe he's back, but lately, just a lot of these blow-up innings. And last night, he had a no-hitter. He had a 5-run lead and then gives up 6 in the top of the fifth. Hard to trust. And I want to know how concerned you are about him at this point. I'm really concerned, and I think this makes Aaron Nola's return that before looked like maybe a luxury, much more of a necessity now than it seemed to be previously. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to OG Wade. What's up, Wade?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
What's up, OG?
What up, man?
Hey, listen, I'm listening to you guys, and the answer to your question, TK, is no, they do not have to throw the ball to win this year or change anything. I think it would be a huge mistake if you come into a season and you start playing to the fear of what other teams might have done to stop you. The smart thing would be wait until they stop what it is that you do best, and then you make adjustments. The beauty about this team, and Jalen said something last year that no one caught. Everybody was talking about how they were winning. It didn't look good. He said winning is going to look the way Jalen Hurts wants it to look. And then yesterday he said something that was more profound than in his 5 years of being here, and every time I heard him speak, he says that, I went a very long time being told I've got to do it a certain type of way. He said, that didn't get me the win when I did it the way that everybody wanted me to do it. You can forget about Jalen Hurts trying to prove people that he can throw for 4,000 yards.
But this is the thing. But wait, this is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's about Jalen trying to prove anybody wrong. This isn't about proving anything to anybody. This is about the way that's best to attack defenses based on the way they're going to attack you.
Right. But, TK, wouldn't you wait until they make that attack and try to – because, frankly, if you look at all the games that we played, no one – the Eagles are able to beat you in a multitude of ways. It's like pick your poison. If you try to stop the run, they're going to throw and win. If you try to stop the pass, they're going to run and win. The key to this here is defenses come in to do one thing with the Eagles. you want to basically make them take time because you're expecting the quarterback to make a mistake. That hasn't happened. And then you're expecting the run to take longer for you to score. Saquon's taking it to the house on one drive, you know. So now defenses is like, what the hell did we do?
Well, that's the thing, Wade. With a year of kind of tape to have, because let's face it, going into last year, the league didn't have tape on what Saquon would look like in the Eagles' offense. I'm not telling you he's not going to be effective. He's Saquon Barkley. It's a great offensive line. He's still going to be effective. But I think the odds are significantly against this running game being as good as it was last year. Like, it was historically great last year.
Let me share something with you, TK. Since Jalen Hurts has been the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles have never, ever struggled to run the ball. Saquon brought a different, like, he was like, he's special. So he's bringing you, like, the icing on the cake. Whereas, though, the other running backs we had, because of Jalen's threat to run the ball, teams can't even think about stopping Saquon unless, and then you're going to get hurt with Jalen. So I'm just saying, I'm just here to tell you that you're never, ever going to be able to stop the Eagles' run game, ever.
Well,
it's not going to happen.
Well, I hear you, Wade, and I appreciate the call. I don't think it's that simple. Like, I don't think it's that simple where you're just going to be able to do the exact same thing. Like, typically in the NFL, we've seen it with even the best teams. You can't just do the same thing year over year and get the same results. Even the Chiefs, you know, even the Patriots.
Yes, it's going to really be a little bit of a slog. It's going to be a slog, but you have to stay committed to it. I remember being in games, man, especially against Pittsburgh Steelers, because that's what I'm thinking about. Like, Jerome Bettis. You know, the first half of the game, he didn't rush for like 10 yards. Second half of the game, that's when he went off. And that's what it used to be. That's what the running game used to be. Used to run the ball. No success. But when you came back to it, that's when it paid huge dividends. I don't think that with the running back that you have that, you know, you need to get completely away from that. You know, when you throw the football, three things can happen. Two of them are bad. That's a fact. Two of them are bad. So giving the ball to Saquon Barkley, keeping defenses honest, it's going to open up the passing game. But you have to run the ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think anyone's saying that they're going to stop the Eagles' run game.
Right.
But the reality is they're probably going to make it a little harder for you.
No, they are. No question. But this is where – it's all about how you feel about what you're saying. And it feels like when you say the Eagles need to pass more, like they need to just come in and be like, damn the torpedoes, throwing the ball all over the field. That's not what's going to get you. That's not what teams are going to defend against.
And that's all. That's not what I'm saying, though. Like, mm-hmm. I'm saying I just think it needs to be a little more balanced than
I think there would be some evolution. But, for me as a player, why – If the teams that you're playing against can't stop it, why stop doing it? You know what I remember? My fault, Kyle. But I remember when I was talking to Coach Mangini one time, a couple years ago, when we used to both work at ESPN. I said, dog, why are the Patriots so good? He said, because we run a handful of plays, and we run them well, and we run them. We'll run the same play from different formations until you stop it. And when you stop it, we'll run another play. And we'll run that out of different formations until you stop it. And then we'll come back to the other play. Like, all this, when people are talking about all these different exotic plays, no, dog, that's not necessary. That is not necessary. Do what you do best. And the way that you have success, you get to what you do best by running different formations, confusing defense. When you watch football on Sunday, you know where plays are made from mistakes. Like, that's when you get guys moving, mm-hmm. especially on the defensive side of the ball, you're trying to see how they're going to defend what you're trying to do, and you're hoping that somebody misses their assignment. That's the simplest way I can put it. So, say if we want to run the ball, right, but they're loading the box. Okay, Let's take Saquon out of the backfield, right? Let's stimmy. Let's motion him to the slot. Who goes with him? Running back. Linebacker. Linebacker probably 230 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get him on a wheel route running up the seam, the receiver run off the corner, and you get him one-on-one with a linebacker, who do you like in that matchup?
Probably Saquon.
That's a running play. Like that's the equivalent of a running play.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I see.
Because that's how Big Red used to do it. Brian Westbrook had 2,000 all-purpose yards. One of his best years as an Eagle. Because he was doing stuff like that. Because Big Red looked at running plays, like some of those passing plays on the screens, as running plays.
I also think some of the reason why that offense continued to improve, though, is they did evolve. You know, it did kind of change over the years. But as it transition less from Donovan being a running quarterback and more into using the running backs out of the passing game, and then getting a top flight receiver, those offenses changed.
Just put it this way. If you're a defensive coordinator this offseason and you're looking at the Eagles, right, which everybody is, they're the Super Bowl champs, everyone's thinking, how can we stop the Eagles and their offense? What's the first thing you're doing? They're probably all going to stack the box. Now, whether or not you think that we can win still that way just by running it down their throat or Jalen bombs away or not, that's an entirely separate conversation. We're basically asking, like, what do you think the defense is going to dictate to the Eagles next year? Do you think it's going to result in them having to throw the ball more, or do you think not? I think the answer to that is pretty clear.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if defenses didn't come out looking to stop the run first.
Most defenses aren't going to be equipped to stop it.
And they might not be. That remains to be seen. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. When we get back, Elliot Shore Parks will join us. He'll give us a training camp report, and we'll get his take on what the Eagles' attack should be offensively next year. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. WIP, this is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. We are live from Champ Camp at the NovaCare Complex as the Eagles have wrapped up practice. Elliot Shore Parks joining us now, and I got to mention, I was just showing you during the break, Elliot.
Yes,
Pete. This picture of me next to Hugh and Jordan Mailata. Rough look, man. Rough for us.
I mean, here's the thing. Jordan Mailata makes a lot of people, and Hugh, make a lot of people look small in photos. But yeah, we're in a rough spot there, Tom. Me and you together.
Yeah,
you can take a picture with me on the break if you want.
nice kit, by the way. You killing them with the kit game.
I got 14 new ones. 14 new ones ready to go.
14 new? Ooh, you got money.
I never repeat.
Okay.
Yeah. My wife's not happy when I keep buying them. But
So this might be a dumb question, but is that a real soccer kit, or is that just an Oasis thing?
No, so this is a kit. When Oasis did the reunion tour, the town they were born in, which I think is in Dublin, Ireland, that soccer team made a special edition kit that they wore in a game. So, yeah, it's a real one.
Nice.
No big deal to me, yeah. Big Oasis guy.
I know you went to the concert.
I know. I knew, like, four songs before I went, and I know five now. But it was an amazing experience. Yeah.
I went to a Bruce Springsteen concert. Didn't know not damn once.
Yeah, I only know two of his songs.
I'd love to see Hugh at a Bruce concert.
Yeah, Born to Run. Yeah, there's another one, yeah.
We were born. Yeah.
They all sound the same.
It is,
anyway.
I will say.
He's overrated.
It is cool to see in concert when everyone's singing that song, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go to the next one.
There you go. But Elliot joining us now. Elliot, some observations. Second day of practice. What were some of your biggest takeaways from what happened out there today?
Well, should we start with the training camp stats? I know.
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah,
they're a hot commodity.
They're a hot commodity.
That's
right
what
now.
Everybody wants to know about.
Exactly.
And he has
such
neat handwriting too.
Really, I think it's sloppy.
No, I'm just saying that's all organized. It looks all
it's very organized.
Organized.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very organized.
Yeah. Yeah, my math teachers in high school would be proud. But
proud.
So Jalen today, 17 of 19. And so look. Jalen is just completing an absurd amount of his passes. I've seen him practice five times since they won the Super Bowl back in February. He's completing 93% of his passes. And people will go, well, they're short passes, you know, but 93% is 93%. I've covered training camps and OTA practices for a long time. 93% is impressive, even if you're dinking and dunking it the entire time. So, I'll just say quickly, I will say today he did have two really nice throws today. He had a throw to Dallas Goedert. It was probably about 15 yards down the field. It's one of the best throws I've seen Jalen make since he's come to the Eagles in a practice setting. There was only one type of throw that was going to get that ball complete to Goddard, and he threw it. It had perfect touch. He put it over the fingers of Jeremiah Trotter Jr. There was two other defenders in the area. Really, really nice throw. And then later on in practice, he had a throw where They did play action. He rolled out. He was rolling to his left. Devontae was about 20 yards down the field. And Jalen threw it perfectly to Devontae in stride as he was heading towards the sideline. So day one, he completed a lot of passes, but no real wow throws. Day two, he did a combination of both. So a really good day out there for Jalen.
I'm kind of curious, Elliot. When did it become a big deal for a quarterback to be measured by how far he throws the ball? Out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I agree with you, but the reason I bring it up is because normally when I say he was 14 of 15, the first question is, well, were they hard throws? Or because you know what? Sometimes in 7-on-7s, there can be like a short pass.
Dump off
exactly.
To the running back.
Right, but my opinion of that is if you're doing that and you're completing 70%, that's like, all right, that's not great. But 93%. Shows to me that he knows exactly where all the answers are. Now, we don't get to watch these plays twice. Is it possible that he's missing some down-the-field throws?
Maybe.
Maybe, but in the game, that's going to happen. But what's impressive is he knows where to go with the ball to get positive yardage. And he knows before the snap, okay, here's what I'm looking for, but if that's not there, I can go to this to get a completion.
That's the point that I'm trying to make. Like, he's being graded or assessed by the level of difficulty for the throw. You want him to put the ball in harm's way, right?
Well, some people of, do.
instead of giving it to the let me just say this. Every quarterback in every passing attempt supposed to have an outlet somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So basically Jalen is not putting the ball in harm's way, which is a smart thing to do. If he feels that it's not there because it's on his discretion, it's not there. He puts the ball in the safest individual's hand to keep the ball going down the field, right?
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing, too, is – no, I agree, yeah. But the you said it perfectly. The other thing I would say, though, is that when it comes to these plays, right, like the fact that he's now been in 5 years – yeah, entering his sixth year, he's just seen a lot more stuff. So he knows when he sees a defense, he can recognize it more than he could in year one or two. And an example I would use is, so Dorian Thompson-Robinson, also on the roster, watching him reminds me of watching rookie Jalen. Because Dorian Thompson-Robinson so far in camp, he's probably run the ball on maybe 50% of his reps. And to me, that says, when that ball snapped, he doesn't know really where to go yet. And it makes sense. He's a young player. He's got a new offense. But with Jalen, he doesn't really have to run it anymore. And the other thing I would say about the high completion percentage is, like, there are some people that will say, well, it's practice. You want to try things. I don't believe that. I think you want to do the correct thing on each play and not build bad muscle memory of attempting risky throws or things like that. If Jalen plays the style of quarterback he's playing over the first 2 days, they're going to be an unbelievable offense.
Well, Elliot, one of the things we've been talking about today is the importance of evolution on this offense, because obviously they were so run heavy last year. They threw the ball when they needed to. Championship game, Super Bowl, obviously did it at a high level. How important do you think that is for them to continue to evolve? And do you think they need to be more pass heavy than they were last season?
I think they will probably need to be because of how defenses will play them. But I don't think they need to go into this year trying to prove to people they can throw the ball. The best weapon they have on the offense right now is Saquon Barkley, arguably. Obviously, AJ and Devontae are awesome, too. I'm not in the mindset of, well, take it easy on Saquon to extend his career. I hope Saquon plays forever, but ultimately, you got to get the best of Saquon when Saquon is at his best. And Saquon right now is playing like one of the best running backs to ever touch the ball in the NFL. So I would go into the year giving the ball to Saquon. Now, teams are going to try to stop that. And as a result, they are going to have to throw it more. I think it's going to be about more, like, when are they throwing it? Because last year, they were at the bottom of the league or near the bottom of the league in first quarter pass attempts and first down pass attempts. Those are neutral situations, right? That's not really situational football. So they came out and tried to run the ball more than they tried to throw it last year. So it'll be about what they do on early downs, but I don't think this year is about proving they can pass the ball. It's about being the best version of the offense.
Definitely. Elliot, you look at the defense, and I want to know what are some of your observations from that side of the ball so far. Obviously, Jahad Campbell on the field, kind of a surprise to me. I didn't think he'd be out there to start camp. What have you seen from Jahad Campbell? Where have they been using him, and how does he look out there?
He just moves different than other linebackers I've covered on this team. I can't really compare him to other linebackers around the NFL. I don't get to see them in person as much. But, you know, I've I think it's like 15 training camps I've covered now. I've seen a lot of Eagles linebackers. Very few move like Jihad. He has long legs, long arms. You can see in the open field his speed is what makes him a special prospect. And I think that's what the Eagles really liked about him. They watched the way he moves, and he can cover a lot of ground really quickly. Now, he's playing with the second-team defense, and the fact he's even taking those snaps is great because he was not expected to do it. Vic Fangio said today that the medical staff must be under-promising and over-delivering to, you know, set expectations. But just seeing him out there is good. I can't say through two practices he's made a play that stood out or he's been out of position. Just physically, he looked. You can see why he was a first-round pick.
And Vic Fangio this morning, he had said that the possibility of him moving up on the line and rushing, that is a possibility, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's ultimately where he will land. Again, because of just the body type, he looks more like Jalix Hunt than he does the linebackers they have. And, I mean, he looks a little bit like Bond, but Bond was an edge rusher the first few years of his career, at least, you know, spent a decent amount of time there. So my guess is week one, and things can definitely change over the next month, but my guess right now would be you see Trotter and Bond out there, and Campbell is put on the field to disrupt, to go after the quarterback, whether that's blitzing, whether that is being put on the line, whatever it is, they're going to put him out on the field for the sole purpose of messing up what the offense is doing and making them think. I don't know if he's at a place yet where you can get 60 solid NFL linebacker snaps out of him, but I do think he's a good enough athlete where he can cause problems for offenses.
Did Kelee Ringo have a bounce back day today?
He did. So yesterday, didn't have a great day. He let up a touchdown, and he let up a long completion to AJ. That completion he let up was kind of AJ being AJ. But today, he was out there. Now, he didn't stand out for better or worse. Adoree Jackson took some first-team reps today. In fact, he started the day with the first-team offense. So it does seem like they're going to split those. And I think on defense, the story so far for me is how much they're moving guys in and out. And that back seven, or I should say more back four or five, they have different guys on almost every snap. Andre Sam, who was on the practice squad all last year, got reps today, first team offense at safety. And props to him, that's good for him. But for the team, that more shows me they don't have anyone yet that they feel is taking control of that job, because you're not putting Andre Sam out there if you think Andrew Mukuba is ready for a huge workload at safety. They're not going to start Andre Sam, let's be real. Like, no offense to Andre Sam, but he could be on the team. The coaches really like him, but he won't be the starter. So the fact that he's out there just shows I think they still have a lot of unanswered questions at that position.
Yeah, and I think we kind of expect Kelee Ringo's got the inside edge at the one corner job.
Yeah, he got the inside, right? Yeah.
But as you look at that other safety job, I mean, if you had to handicap it, who do you think is the guy who has the inside track?
So in base, I think if they played a game tomorrow, the base safety would be Cooper DeJean next to Reed Blankenship. Mm. And then when they go to nickel, I think they would probably Mukuba, but I don't. My honest answer is, and I hate to normally give this, and I honestly hate when people say it, but I don't think the starting safety is on the roster. I think there's a good chance you're going to see them go out and acquire safety, because I don't think it'll be Sydney. Mukuba, that's a tough ask to start week one. And again, we have a full month, so we'll see. But I think in base it would be Cooper, and then they would probably go to Mukuba, but I think the safety's not on the roster.
Yeah, and I thought one of the interesting things that Vic Fangio had said this morning, Elliot, is talking about Quinyon Mitchell and kind of mentioned the possibility of him maybe moving around a little more,
yeah,
maybe following receivers. Did that surprise you at all?
No, I think that's the next evolution in Quinyon's game. I asked Quinyon after practice today about it. He said he's excited about the possibility. I asked him if there was any differences, you know, lining up on the left versus the right, and he said no, he didn't see any. And that is somewhat of an underrated thing about Quinyon's year last year. Quinyon was unbelievable, but he lined up on the same side at the same position every single snap. He did not move around like Cooper did. He didn't switch sides like some of the other top corners. So the next evolution in his game is doing that. And especially when you ask questions about who's the starting corner opposite of him, there are going to be weeks, in fact, you know, early on in the season, if you look at their schedule, where there's going to be receivers where the Eagles don't want Kelee or Adoree Jackson in that matchup. They want Quinyon doing it. So it'll be a test for sure, but Quinyon, as normal, you know, seemed pretty chill about it.
Yeah, and another part of this thing, Elliot, in the first couple of days of camp that I've found to be kind of interesting is what Jordan Mailata said, what he said yesterday. Jalen has kind of reiterated the same thing about really turning the page to this year. Does this kind of, you've been covering the team for a while, do you get the sense that this is kind of a different mindset from when the team was here in 2018? Obviously, a lot of different players. I mean, not many of the same guys. But do you get the sense that it's much less of a celebratory time and much more of a, you know, get back to the grindstone, get prepared type time?
In 2018, they hung the Super Bowl banner in the locker room. So, you know, there was that slight difference. I would compare it to even 2022 going into 2023. It does feel, and I know they won versus lost, which obviously matters, but it feels like the message this year is far more consistent and far more intense than it was in teams that I've covered in the past that have gone to the Super Bowl. Because, well, obviously winning versus losing is different. The message is still the same. Like, when you lose a Super Bowl, the message is still, we're moving on from next year. We need to focus on this year. And granted, they're asked about it, but every single player that's been up at the podium really since the offseason, the message has been very clear. We are not talking about the 2024 Eagles. Landon Dickerson said today that the 2024 Eagles are in the history of books. They're not in this training camp. So they are definitely focused on next year.
Yeah, and looking forward to the rest of the week. What's the schedule look like moving forward here?
So, I mean, they don't even practice tomorrow. So, you know, they don't do 2-a-days. They don't do 3 days in a row. So they're off tomorrow. They'll practice on Saturday. I think they're off Sunday as well. And then, obviously, it's a new week next week. So I'm kind of sad they don't practice. You know, you look forward all off season to this, and now 2 days, and I don't got nothing to do tomorrow.
Well, I
got to
ask you, because Jordan was talking about, you know, getting back into it. Nothing can prepare you for it. How's the hand feeling? You know, this is a lot of writing that you're not accustomed to doing.
Well, and, you know, standing.
You got carpet on a little bit.
Well, from tweeting, my fingers will probably be, you know, completely gone in 10 years. Yeah, exactly. But, no, I mean, look, standing out in the sun is not easy. I've got to make sure I get my afternoon nap. But there's work to do. We got the Go Birds pod coming out with the post-practice pod. We'll have the daily pod in the feed tomorrow. So, the season has started.
Well, there you go. Elliot Shore Parks joining us here from Champ Camp. Make sure you listen to Go Birds. He and James Seltzer.
Yes.
New episode every day, right?
Yeah, 2-a-day. So we will have every episode.
How do you do it, man? Jeez.
I mean, what else do I have to do? Yeah, wife's away for a week. But 4 a.m., a daily pod comes out, and then after practice, another pod. So we'll have all the updates for you.
All right, well, there you go. Elliot Shore Parks joining us, as always, the beat writer you need.
Yes, sir. Talk to you guys later.
Right here on WIP. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. I think what stands out, Hugh, from what Elliot had to say, and I think from Vic Fangio this morning, I really don't think we're talking enough about Jahad Campbell and what he could be for this defense this year. And I think the way Elliot phrased it there was really interesting in terms of him being kind of like a specialized chaos player, being a guy they can move
pass
around, put in different spots. And
yeah.
I mean, I think there's a chance he was a steal of the draft where the Eagles got him, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's on the field at this point in camp where, you know, I heard people talk about maybe be on the pup list. This is really a big development for the defense going into the season.
Well, he's in limited practice. I remember them saying something like that. But to Elliot's point, he'll probably be used as a pass rusher. You know, you talk about his ability to move and his ability to cover and rush the passer. Put him in a limited role and let him just do that until he gets familiar and comfortable with this defense. So, yeah, that makes sense. To try to work him in there.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see him, man. He looks like a specimen out there.
Big-ass kid.
Yeah, and should be fun to see what Jahad Campbell can give them this year, for sure. I think it's one of the elements of this defense. As if we're talking about, like, the upside of the Eagles' defense, I think Jahad Campbell's a huge part of that. If he busts out, breaks free, I think this defense has the possibility to be really damn good again. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Violet in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hey,
guys, how are you?
Violet?
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, there's...
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Violet?
I'm sorry, am I messing? Should I come off of the Bluetooth?
That would be great. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Kyle would appreciate it.
All right, sorry.
All right, you're good, Violet. Yeah. What's going on?
Oh, no, hold on. Gosh darn it, hold on.
Oh, come on, Violet.
I mean, come
you're
on.
Losing us here.
Kyle
is that better?
Gets everybody, huh?
Is that good?
Violet, are you there? You're good. Oh, no.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
Why did Scott sound like he was on the phone there with the joke, quite frankly? Let's go to David in the Northeast. What's up, David?
David.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, David?
How's it going, you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
You getting a little slimmer there or what?
I'm trying to get back in this dating game, man. I got to find me a girlfriend. John Ritchie got a girlfriend. I got to find me a girlfriend.
I think your girlfriend is a piece of pork you've been hustling on the commercial.
What?
That sounds really weird, but I get where you're going with
I think he was talking about the pork that's on your fork.
Yeah, pork on my fork.
Come on, man.
I got a read coming up next.
Act like you don't know, man.
I got you, dog.
I'm pretty excited about Campbell getting back. I'd like to see him. I like to see him on the.
Yeah. Are you there, David? Are you all right, man?
What'd you say, Kyle?
Is everything all right?
You talking about?
But the one guy that you had on earlier, talking about the backfield. I'm not pretty sure about Barkley.
But you're not sure.
I think maybe tapping out maybe 900 yards this year.
900 yards? What are you talking about, David? The guy ran for 2,000 last year.
Just hear me out. He's gotta have backup. He's not Superman. I give him maybe 9,000 yards.
9,000? Now you're talking, David. Yeah, there you go.
He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, maybe he'll go for 9,000 this year. That'd be a heck of a season.
Not 900 or 1,000.
He said that's what he meant to say. Yeah,
900 or 9,000. No in between, right?
Come on. Wake up, man.
All right.
No, my bad. Wake up.
Yeah, David, okay. You got anything else for us, David?
Yeah. You had a guy on that was, how y'all doing all this crap?
He didn't
mention the guy Sanders. If anybody remembers how many yards Sanders had in the Super Bowl.
Miles Sanders, I think he had like 14 yards in that game.
It was? I thought it was about 25.
Oh, maybe, David. I appreciate the call. That's a huge difference. I mean, I don't know what to... What. So 900 or 9,000 yards. What do you think is more likely, Hugh, for Saquon Barkley?
900.
900?
9,000, that's a lot.
9,000 is a lot of yards.
David's optimistic.
Yeah.
That means you rush up about 500 yards a game, right?
Yeah.
At least.
To use your terminology, Hugh...
Probably even more than that.
David's interesting.
Very, very interesting.
He's interesting. He's an interesting guy. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, 1 hour left for us. Do you think the Eagles are going to need to throw more in order to win next season? Your calls on that. Plus, when we get back, we need to investigate a potential fart. So we'll do that when we return.
It wasn't me.
All right. Well, we'll see. Hopefully, it's not you.
It wasn't me no time. What are you talking about?
This time by a prominent Philadelphia sports figure.
Outside.
I'm excited about that. Who left glasses?
Somebody at training camp left their glasses. So
are
you going to
go snag them?
They are my glasses.
Okay.
They look pretty nice. Those are my glasses. As soon as I get done with this read.
Well, Hugh's going to go get a pair of glasses. We'll be right back. 215-592-9494. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Nothing says summer like grilling. And when I fire up the grill, you know I'm bringing the flavor and the heat. Hatfield Savory Brown Sugar Marinated Pork Tenderloin is my go-to on my grilling list. Yeah, it's nice, man. It's juicy, packed with that sweet, smoky goodness, and so easy to make. Just pop it on the grill, and dinner's done right. This summer, put some pork on your fork with Hatfield. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes, tips, and where to buy. Hatfield, better care, better pork.